Hello, everyone. I'm Colin Tesser of WrestleZone.com and joined by John Clark tonight. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. We're coming off of night one of NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver, and it delivered. I thought it was a really good show, and we'll get into it tonight. But before we do, I just want to say this show, like everything we do here at WrestleZone, is available on any number of streaming services, whether it's SoundCloud, Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, whatever it may be. We've got you covered. So make sure to leave a like, subscribe, show your support. We always appreciate it. So let's start with the main event here, John. We have a new NXT Women's Champion, Raquel Gonzalez, dethroned Io Shirai. Perhaps a moment that was long over. Gonzalez, I mean, everything you hear about her, you know, she's come so far in a really short amount of time. If you really think about it, we've seen her grow so much in her feud with Rhea Ripley. She pinned Shirai back at NXT War Games, which is, I think, that was kind of her breakout performance. And maybe even for me personally, I'll say since then, I'm like, it's only a matter of time till she won the title. And you know, now she's got it now, you know, and it was a really great way to do it, beating Shirai here in a really good match. And I'm excited. I mean, this match, along with many other ones tonight, made it really feel like it's a new era for NXT, and I'm excited to see where it goes. But what do you think of this main event, John, and Gonzalez's victory?
I was satisfied with the end of the match there. I don't know if you would agree. It sounds like you do.
Yeah, and I do.
Continuing on about the match itself, though, I thought that there were so many good spots. Obviously, the skull they utilized, absolutely terrific. What did you think of that?
I thought that was cool. I mean, I would they could just make Io's like whole character jumping off of stuff at this point. She jumped off of the, well, I guess that was the cage at War Games with the garbage can. Now she jumped off of the skull. I think she jumped off of the house event. It's awesome. You can just tell that she's a performer that just goes out there every time, especially on a big show like this, and she just gives her all, and it's contagious.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Do we get a rematch, or do you think Io is moving up? What do you think?
I mean, that's the natural question, and we've already gotten several comments about it. Nesha Kerr saying Io must be heading to Raw. That's why she lost. And then Jeff Lynn saying if Io jumps, who's there to make Gonzalez look good? And that, you know, if Shirai does move, like, who's left in that sense? And, of course, NXT has a very talented women's division. I mean, like I said, that's the natural question, right? I talk about this all the time with Robert, and I think I mentioned with you on Monday, but you know, the WWE women's division is always called like the best in the business, really. And I think a lot of times NXT is like kind of holds up that compliment. Like a lot of that depth, a lot of that talent is in NXT. And sometimes the main roster, it can feel top heavy where, you know, you call up some of the NXT's top stars to the main roster, and then, it's like this, you know, it's the way it works, right? With Sasha Banks, Bayley, all these people came from NXT, and now Rhea Ripley's on the main roster. And some of them, maybe in some way you leave Shirai on NXT for a little bit longer. You know, like you just asked, maybe you do give her a rematch. That would make sense, but maybe not in a automatic rematch kind of sense. Maybe they find a way to kind of, you know, prolong this feud somehow, even though it was a completely clean win. But it seems like it's a very well-received match. Michael Plisak saying that's how you do night one of a major pay-per-view. Now we're seeing Stephen Chambers saying he'd like to see Io move to the main roster, shake it up on Raw. So several people saying they'd like to see her on Raw rather than SmackDown. And in some ways, I mean, I do think maybe SmackDown could use her more. I mean, now that Raw has Rhea Ripley, Io could fit in on SmackDown. If she does get called up, John, where do you think she'd belong?
I'm not sure, but I do think she will be getting moved up. I will say SmackDown, just because they probably need her more.
I mean, it's weird. Like you and I are saying that, and the viewers are saying they would like to see her on Raw. And you, John, I think you said on Monday, like Raw already feels like they could use a major shakeup again. Maybe the bulk of that comes in the women's division. Maybe they've got Rhea Ripley. You bring in Io Shirai, and it's a whole new division almost, where you bring in two top stars like that in short order.
Yeah, I'd be willing to give them another month or two to try to get more creative. Then maybe we would see. Well, it's the booking, not the people. So.
Yeah, I mean, it always is kind of a question like that. Is it the roster or is it the booking? Jason Michael Campbell wondering if we could see Io get caught up the night after WrestleMania. I think you said on Raw on Monday, John, and of course everybody knows that the Raw after Mania tends to be really exciting. NXT call-ups, surprises, any number of things. This would be one big way to do that. So I don't know. I mean, this tends to be the NXT formula where you see, you know, a big star drops the title or loses a big blow-off match here. Then, you know, this could be a good time to call her up. I mean, no time like the present, and that, you know, after WrestleMania, call her up and see what happens. And I'll maintain, I think she'd be better off on SmackDown at this point, but not to say that Raw couldn't use her. I just, you know, like you just said, John, maybe you give Ray Ripley some time. Maybe you give some other people on Raw some time to step up rather than bringing in more, you know, more new talent. You know, there is talent there. In a lot of ways, you know, the talent's just not really being used. So
it'll definitely be interesting to see where they go with Io and definitely Raquel as well moving forward. I think it very well could be a rematch, or this very well could be the end of it. I think either way would be fine.
If we don't get a rematch, who do you think would be kind of the favorite for the first challenger?
It's hard to tell with the tag division for the women being so relevant right now. This was covered on TakeOver tonight as well. We're getting a new debut next week.
Yep.
Maybe that has something to do with it.
Now that you bring it up, let's talk about that, because there's, you know, most people seem to think that's going to be Taya Valkyrie, and that was even the case heading into tonight. We had the promos with this dog, and everybody like always says that. That's Taya's thing. Has been in the past. And something about this promo tonight, it really, you know, solidified in my mind. It's got to be Taya Valkyrie.
It's got to be her. Yeah. Be.
I don't know who else it could possibly be. And if I hope it is, I was a big fan of hers back when she was in Impact.
The only possibility I've seen other people talking about on social media was the possibility that it could be Eva Marie making her return. But I think if it was going to be her, she would be Eva Marie. Like, that would be her name. So
It was Frankie Monet, I believe, is the name that they showed on the screen tonight. So now we know the name is Frankie Monet. That'd been kind of reported.
And I like the comment from Harold here saying about Toni Storm, because I could see the challenger being Toni Storm also, honestly.
Really?
And even though she lost.
Yeah. If she had won this, I was a little surprised to see Toni Storm was on the pre-show here. And she lost to Zoe Stark. Is that the name? Formerly, yes. Like Lacey Ryan. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. That'd be a little, you know, a little surprising, you know, because Toni just lost. You know, it's crazy things have happened, but especially because we just saw Toni kind of unsuccessfully challenge Shirai. I don't know if she'd necessarily be the best choice in my mind, but it's possible. Although now we're getting a question from Stephen Chambers here. What does this mean for Dakota Kai? How do you think that unfolds?
Yeah, I mean, and I could see Dakota turning, but I don't think she would turn into a babyface again quite yet. And I mean, but maybe she'd be a heel. I mean, what is Raquel Gonzalez really? Is she a face or a heel? I think she's supposed to be a heel, right?
Yeah. But she's quickly becoming like, you know, cool. Like, heels, you know.
So I'm not sure.
You know, maybe it turns into like some almost inverse of Batista and Triple H from way back when, you know, Batista turned on Triple H chasing the title. Maybe, you know, Raquel has the championship now, and then she kind of becomes more likable and we get something there, at least down the road. So it's only possible. Going up from the comments, they're getting a lot of praise for Walter and Tommaso Ciampa. Definitely seeing a lot of people saying it was match of the night. It was very physical. Absolute slugfest, and I mean, wow, these two. I will say, you know, to some extent, I'm someone that likes to suspend my disbelief, but you have a match for the NXT UK title between Walter and Tommaso Ciampa. I did not necessarily see Ciampa winning this one, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. They put on a great match. I enjoyed it. It was absolutely physical. It was brutal. Walter's chops are renowned from all wrestling fans. Those things are just nasty. And then to Tommaso's credit, he was giving it right back. At several points they showed the camera where Walter, his chest was all bruised, and you know, this one was just an absolute slugfest. And I think I saw one tweet that said these two were kind of putting the war into Once a Night War. I enjoyed this a lot. I was surprised we did not get any Imperium interference, no Timothy Thatcher, just a clean, straight-up finish. The two guys going out there, giving it their all. What do you think of this one, John?
This was by far best match of the night, one of the best matches of the year so far, also for NXT. Let me explain, I guess, two key points I took from the match. The first one for me is who takes down Walter. Nobody comes to mind right now. I just don't see it happening.
The dude's been champion for 2 years. Like, who could possibly beat him at this point? Granted, you put an asterisk with that because of the pandemic, but 2 years is nothing to, to overlook. This guy has had a dominant reign. He's, he's done great work, and especially since the NXT UK returned, still doing great, still a dominant champion. Tommaso came close several times. They did kind of toy with your emotion there. Where, like I just said, I did not see Tommaso winning, but they had a couple of good near falls. But I do not know who could possibly be Walter at this point.
Yeah, and especially with him being the UK champion, it's almost like he's going to have to pull like an Oscar and just give up the belt. And he would only do that if he was actually serious about being in NXT. We've all heard, he said himself he's just not interested in living in the United States permanently. Yeah. He would kind of have to be NXT. So unless Triple H, gave him enough money or he's changed his mind since the pandemic or something, I have already heard inklings that if Finn Balor ends up retaining somehow, or even if he doesn't retain, he would possibly be next for a match with Walter. And it does kind of make sense, being that Finn Balor is kind of that UK guy. So he could potentially be a guy that could be the UK champion. So that kind of interests me there. And then the second key point I take out of this is the fact that, even though we have had Johnny Gargano and Tommaso both kind of be NXT for life guys, I'm sorry, but it's time for Tommaso to move up. I really think that he's really done everything I think there is to do. And every time we say that, they think of something else. But I don't know what you think about those two points I just said, but I think that Finn Balor and Walter would be interesting with or without NXT championship involved. And two, Tommaso needs to move up to the main roster.
I definitely like the idea of Finn Balor and Walter. That would be great. I mean, Finn Balor, every title match, or I'll say even every match he's had, I'll say at least dating back to the fall here, has been just like Walter in that sense. Very physical, slugfest, very different rather than your kind of typical matches here. I think those two could do great stuff together. And you're entirely, that's a great, like, kind of, connecting the dots beautifully there. Like, I like the point that, Finn Balor, he's from he's from Ireland, I believe, or thereabouts.
That counts for the UK division, though.
Yeah. So, just in a general sense, at least, that he fits the bill. Not that that needs to be exclusionary, but, I did not see Ciampa winning here, because he's from the United States. Like, you think about some of the travel restrictions, all these other things. Finn Balor makes a lot more sense. And at the very least, even if Finn Balor would lose that match, it's more believable. Even I'm not alone here with several people in the comments saying they did not see Ciampa winning either. But I think that'd be great. I would like to see that. I'm assuming at this point, and we can talk about it later in the show, I'm going to assume that Karrion Kross is going to win tomorrow. I don't see him losing, but in that case, then you could kind of naturally transition Finn into that feud of Walter. And as for your second point, that's kind of one of the like paradoxes of NXT. You have some of these people like Gargano, Ciampa, a lot of people that have done so great with NXT that feel so like vital to the NXT brand and its persona, for lack of a better word. I'll say Johnny Gargano feels like someone that really could stay in NXT forever. And they do find ways to keep it fresh, to keep giving him new things. The Way is the latest example, his heel turn before that. Ciampa, I could see him doing good stuff on the roster. I think Randy Orton even has teased in the past some potential interest in a match there. So I think that could be something where, he could, and age is a factor as well. The schedule, I think he's talked about that in the past. So it could boil down to what he wants, Ciampa wants to do. He's one of my favorites. Like, he has been in NXT as long as he's been there. So if he does stay, after the event, I don't know where it goes. We have this potential for some branching story with Thatcher and Imperium here, but it doesn't seem like a very long term thing. So that, then you ask what after that? I don't know. At the end of the day, Ciampa is a great talent, a guy that can really help elevate others around him. And there's a lot of value in that. And at the same time, if he goes up to the main roster, I'd be happy to see that as well. So I don't know. Absolutely. I would at this point, now you've got me excited to see this potential Walter and Finn Balor feud. Because otherwise, anything else would feel kind of not anticlimactic, but like in terms of someone that could actually take the title from Walter, Finn Balor's got to be at the top of that list. Otherwise, I don't know. We're seeing some. You first.
I was going to say, if Walter was really interested in coming to NXT full time, he would be an instant person for me to say, give him the NXT championship. Definitely. No question.
Yeah. I mean, every time he's on the screen, he's got such a presence. He's a huge guy. And there's, he harkens back to those old school days of just big dudes that generally look intimidating. And speaking of like that old school appeal, DJ Cassier wondering if we see Walter pulling potentially a Bruno Sammartino reign with the UK title, where he holds it for even potentially a couple more years. You know, who knows how long he could hold this thing. You know, I just don't know. Especially, let's say the Finn Balor match doesn't happen, you know, for whatever reason, if that's not the plan. Like we've been saying, I do not know who could possibly take the title off of Walter anytime soon. In that case, he could hold it for a while longer.
I think as long as he wants to be exclusive to NXT UK and make a few appearances in the States every now and then, there's just nobody with the star power on NXT UK right now that could take the title and do the things that he's done with it. So I don't see him losing it anytime soon.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll admit, I'm someone that's not very familiar with NXT UK until, you know, it was, I think, maybe like the 9 o'clock hour and they showed a commercial for the NXT UK, their own event for WrestleMania week. Because of everything that's happened this week, I just completely forgot about it. And I was like, oh yeah, that's happened. It was like the prelude or something like that. That's happening tomorrow on Thursday. And I was like, wow. And maybe that in some ways that speaks to the fact that beyond Walter, they are kind of lacking in, you know, that and star power. You know, there's something to be said for that. Obviously, a very talented roster, no doubt about that. They brought in
at least for people in the United States is what you're getting at. People in the UK go nuts over this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, it's just not really promoted enough over here in the States, where people especially are going to watch wrestling at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Thursday.
Yeah, you know, and that's perfectly valid. And that's just kind of a general pattern. You think of some of the Saudi Arabia shows from the pre-pandemic era, the Superstar Spectacle for the India show earlier this year. It's hard to kind of get a good audience, at least among American viewers.
When they had that show in Tokyo that was started at like 3 a.m. for Brock Lesnar, Beast in the East.
Forgot about that. Oh man. But no, that's exactly it. You know, when you have this weekly show that's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's hard to get a good viewership for that. And viewership and through extension, kind of familiarity and, you know, popularity for some of these very talented wrestlers. So I don't know how you counter that or how you overcome that, but by having Walter on NXT is one great way to do it. You know, you build up the prestige of that championship and the champion, and that's, you know, probably the best we can do at this point, because that's when the show is. And then I don't see them moving anytime soon. So hopefully, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm hopeful that, you know, for Walter, that he could make a couple more regular appearances on NXT, because I want to see more of him. And John, as you were saying, you know, it's something where he has said he doesn't want to move to the United States. He doesn't want to be there full time. Unless that changes, we just have to kind of accept that. We are seeing some comments supporting the idea that Davey Boy Smith Jr. Could come back to WWE. He's been very successful around the world. And that way that's been kind of like rumored here and there. He's made comments about in the past, but maybe he comes to NXT UK, maybe he faces Walter. That's certainly possible, or at least, you know, if we're talking about, you know, fantasy ideas, for lack of a better word, just that's something that could happen. But while we're on the subject of NXT UK, let's talk about tonight's opening match. Pete Dunne and Kushida put on a very physical match as well. I thought this match was a nice kind of, a comparison to the Ciampa and Walter match later on, and that's just the similar style. I really am liking how Pete Dunne, every time he's on, he wrestles, like, you got to hide your fingers. This man will brutalize your fingers and crack them. And it's so like hard to watch, but like he's ever since his feud with Finn Balor, I've enjoyed this guy. Like I said before that, I hadn't really been familiar with him. I know he faced Adam Cole back at Survivor Series 2 years ago. But this is another guy other than some of his main NXT success, I'm not that familiar with him, but I like what I'm seeing. And he picked up a big win here, a nice, you know, showcase of a match for these two. But Kushida, another loss in a big match. And, you know, this guy's got to win a big match at some point, right? This guy is too talented to be losing all the time.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to mention there were two things about this match that I didn't like. The first one was that Pete Dunne, for some reason, got new graphics and music. I don't think that was necessary at all. I wasn't a fan of that. I liked his old stuff. But more importantly, and secondly, Kushida again loses. And over the show the past couple months, it has been a repetitive cycle of me saying, you know, he's due. He's facing Johnny Gargano for the NXT North American Championship. He's due to finally win. He loses. Okay, well, now he's facing Velveteen Dream. He's due for a win. He's finally going to win. He loses. Okay, well, now he's facing Dexter Lumis. He's due for a win here. He loses again. And tonight, as he gets his chance against Pete Dunne, he loses again. It's almost becoming too little too late to see him as a really reliable threat. But I do think that he could pull an Elias or Alexa Bliss, as you will, and just move up to the main roster and see success there, having not got any at all on NXT. So I think that's his most realistic path at this point. If you keep him on NXT, there's not really a whole lot he can do, and it seems like his role has only been putting over other people for somebody that needs to put over themselves.
Absolutely. I mean, we're getting several comments here. He did look great. Like, his talent is never...
He always does.
He always puts in a great match. I really thought he should have won that match with Gargano at the last TakeOver event. You know, that was a great story. That was a fantastic match. That, like, to me, that felt like the moment to do something with him. And like John, you were saying, he's so overdue for a moment like that. Not that I necessarily expected him to win here, but I, at the same time, I was surprised he lost because he wins.
He wins on NXT TV, and
but
then
he can't win the big one.
He can never win TakeOver. I don't think he has yet to win a TakeOver match.
And that's crazy to me. So maybe there's something to be said for, as you just said, moving him up to the main roster, starting fresh to an extent. But then there's the classic narrative where it's like, you know, what's he going to do on the main roster? You know, you think of there are exceptions, of course, but we've seen.
And you're right. And he's not somebody like Elias who does really anything outside of the ring. He doesn't really talk a whole lot. I mean, obviously it's not his fault, but being he's not really English isn't his native language. There are some communication barriers there. So, you know, if you think of him sort of like a Shinsuke Nakamura type person, who they're known for their ability to be in the ring and not necessarily talk, if he's going to come to the main roster, that's what he's going to do. He's going to wrestle. So you have to have something planned for him.
Yeah. And what that is, I don't know. Granted, you know, either brand could really use him in the mid card. You maybe bring him up, put him in a feud for the US or the IC title. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, it's a guy, he's obviously a guy that deserves much more than he's been getting, but I point out
I think he'd be a lot better in a tag situation, but there's just nobody you can really put him with right now.
I mean, I hate to say it, but like my first thought was like, put him with Shinsuke Nakamura so that both guys have something. Because right now, you know, we're looking at Kushida losing over and over again at the, you know, at least in terms of his big matches in NXT. Nakamura not faring much better on SmackDown at this point, though it looked like at one point earlier this year he'd be, you know, on the right track to something better than what he'd been getting. But now he's pretty much going to be a lot
his best hope now is winning the Battle Royal this week,
which isn't even on you know, the main WrestleMania card. So, you know, maybe that's something. I certainly hope to see more for Kushida here. And as for Pete Dunne, good win for him. And it's kind of at the same time, not really sure what he's going to do. He's a guy that, you know, he challenged for the NXT title not too long ago. So I'm not sure what his future holds either. Hopefully something good as well. And no, none of these guys should get lost in the shuffle. They're too talented for that. At the very least, we can say this is a great match, a great way to start the show. And I enjoyed it a lot. And I will say, you know, even beyond before that, just this was, it was a takeover on USA. Like, but they did such a great job making this feel like a genuinely special event. They had, what's her name? Nita Strauss or some?
Yes.
Performed the national anthem.
And for the first time that I can ever remember, they were trending number one in the United States. They were much, much better on Twitter than AEW was, and even just overall number one trending in the United States. And I do think that will bring a direct correlation to the ratings. I know it sounds a little cheesy to say, but in the last ever head-to-head competition, it looks like NXT will win, which would be the first time since, I think, November.
And that'd be really ironic, you know, all this talk about ratings and, you know, the competition.
The out of the statistics that shown, I think they went head-to-head roughly 90 to 100 times, and NXT only actually won the head-to-head 7 times. And it's weird that it could be 8 now after tonight. But I do think they will pull a very strong number, possibly their best number since they were their first two there on USA that did over a million. Wow. And I'm very interested to see what this does for them next Tuesday.
Yeah.
And let's see what they do. But there was another title change that we need to talk about tonight, and that was the tag team championship match. Obviously, somebody was going to win, that there was no champions. A lot of people here picked Grizzled Young Veterans to win. That was surprising to me because I didn't. I picked MSK from the start. I knew they won the Dusty Cup. They were supposed to get that match. There was an injury. And then ironically, there's another injury with the actual champion. So it's like it came full circle. I was okay with how this went. What about you?
Oh, I really like this a lot. I was thinking during this match that, I mean, NXT has, for the pandemic era, they've done a great job kind of rolling with the punches, whether it's injuries with, you know, Karrion Kross's injury. Now we had Danny Burch hurting his shoulder, so they had to vacate the tag titles. They keep rolling, figuring out ways to kind of adapt and, you know, just, you know, keep on trucking. And here with the tag division, you had MSK, as you just said, John, a team that they won the Dusty Cup. They came in, you know, a very hot new addition. And they did such a great job in the Dusty Cup. And at the same point, Grizzled Young Veterans, they did great as well. And those two teams faced off in the finals, I believe, for the Dusty Cup. Stole the show, put on a great match. I think I saw earlier today a point that the Grizzled Young Veterans are always the bridesmaids, never the bride. They're always like, are just there, but they can't quite get the...
Kushida?
Right. Yeah, that's a very fitting comparison. And it's a shame. Another talented team, kind of similar here. They lost, and now I don't know what's next for them, but huge one for MSK. Their rise to the top here in NXT has been meteoric, which has been great. I always mix them up. I think it's Wesley and Nash. Wesley is the one I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Yes.
He has that a special factor to him. I think he could do great things. I'm already looking like way too far in the future for it, but I think he's got a lot of potential by himself.
All three teams looked very good tonight, which is good for NXT. To your point about Grizzled Young Veterans always seeming to be next in line and then it falls. It's almost like there's just a circumstance where they get jumped in line. In this case, it was just that MSK decided to go to NXT. And I think if they wouldn't have went to NXT, I think the Grizzled Young Veterans would have probably won the Dusty Cup. And it's MSK moving forward. The possibilities for good matches are there, especially getting another match with Save and Legado del Fantasma or Grizzled Young Veterans again. And obviously, you know, the champs that went down are going to come back looking for a rematch as well. So there's definitely three or four teams still in the picture here. But I think we're to that point in the year where we're going to start to see some new teams rising. I mean, obviously, you still got the Breezango there, but they're kind of like – they kind of phased out. They came back to NXT and they were on fire for a while, but then – it's just kind of the phase. I mean, they were champions. They lost them, and ever since then, it just hasn't really been anything. So who would you like to see be the first challenger to them?
I mean, in terms of like pure in-ring match from that perspective, I would say Grizzled Young Veterans, you know, they put on a great match. They could say, you know, they want another chance to win the titles, you know, just directly against MSK here, but then I don't want to have this continuing Kushida trend where, you know, they lose again and then what? Maybe by the same logic for the a one-on-one defense, maybe Legado del Fantasma says, hey, we want a fair shot at the titles. Maybe there's something to be said for that. You could also say, another team could come kind of out of nowhere. Breezango could be a kind of a wild card, but I don't know. We saw the Dusty Cup. We saw some teams come together. We saw some teams kind of get the chance to show their stuff. So we saw Ciampa and Thatcher come together. Maybe we see something like that. I just don't know. I mean, I will say NXT does kind of tend to find tag teams out of the blue and that, you know, you don't necessarily see coming. I think the Bruiserweights from way back when, as I just said, Ciampa and Thatcher are good together. So even if I sit here today and I'm like, I don't really know who I see challenging.
And I also agree with what DJ said there, because I think if Walter is willing to be in NXT for the long haul, Imperium should be considered. But I don't like Imperium in the title picture without Walter being a consistent character on the show. It just doesn't work.
I think that's fair. You know, they kind of seem like they should be tied together, but they are a stable, of course. If we don't get to see Walter kind of stick around, then, you know, maybe that wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. So maybe, like, at least in the short term, I would expect, you know, maybe this kind of ongoing, 3 or 4 way feud where we've got MSK, Legado del Fantasma, the Grizzly Young Veterans, and Danny Burch when he's healed up and healthy again, because the champions are going to want their titles. So NXT's tag division is looking good. Very, very talented all around. All three teams, like I said, John, look great. In a match like this, you always have one team that seems kind of like you can, you know, scratch them off from in terms of like being considered likely to win. But you know, Legado Fantasma looked great. I think it was Joaquin Wild did a spinning like dive to the outside. It looked, yeah, looked great. All three teams, great tandem offense, great chemistry. Liked it a lot. I'm excited to see what happens next. I mean, I will say that's one thing that NXT really does have going for it, as opposed to the main roster. They've got a great tag division, and even though they keep like having these obstacles, whether it's the Danny Burch injury or whatever it may be, they brought in MSK. They've got Grizzly Young Veterans, and again, like I said, who even knows what else could happen? But I like it. I think pretty much every takeover you can expect the tag division to steal the show, and I think that was the case tonight. Although pretty much every match, really, it was one of those rare shows where like every match was like a match of the night contender. It was every match delivered, and that's usually the case for a good takeover. But this one was definitely, I think, a very strong show for a takeover overall. Absolutely. especially for one that was technically on cable TV for free. So I thought this was really good, and you know, hats off to MSK. I thought, you know, I'm happy for them. They really blew me away when they came in for the Dusty Cup, and I'm excited to see where they go next.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so another match that was really enjoyable from start to finish was the Gauntlet match. We got to see, the Gauntlet Eliminator match. We got to see Bronson Reed, LA Knight, Leon Ruff, Isaiah Scott, Dexter Lumis, and Cameron Grimes. And I tweeted during this, like, pretty much everyone in this match deserves to get pushed to the moon. For me, I'm a huge fan of LA Knight. Really like Dexter Lumis. I really like what Cameron Grimes has been doing. And you know, otherwise, I liked everyone in this match. But to me, those three guys really, I see great things for them. But Bronson Reed won, and I was surprised by that. I will say, like, as good as this match was, sometimes it's my enjoyment at least is kind of hampered by, you know, looking, I guess, beyond it, where it's like I know that the winner is going to face Johnny Gargano, a heel champion, so then you kind of like, by and large, you can cross off the heel participants. So it's like I knew LA Knight wouldn't win, but I wanted him to. So then I thought, okay, if he's not going to win, it's got to be Dexter Lumis. We've seen Lumis and Gargano feuding for a while, and they have faced off, but that would make a lot of sense. But then Lumis lost, so, and we got to see a little tease of a Lumis and LA Knight feud, so that could be something that's pretty cool for bringing LA Knight and NXT into the spotlight. But Bronson Reed won this match, and he was someone that you kind of expect one of the baby faces to win, like Joseph Priestley saying, but I don't know. I haven't seen as much of him. Like, I'm someone that doesn't, before doing the show, hadn't always watched NXT every week. I didn't see some of his, like, his kind of rise to the forefront here. So I'm a little less familiar with him, but I mean, it's a good opportunity for him. I don't necessarily expect him to win tomorrow. That's what Stephen Chambers is asking. I mean, like, we were talking about Ciampa earlier. Gargano, a guy that, with a title, without a title, he's been around NXT, he's been around the block, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. So, you know, where he goes from here, I don't know. There's so many people that he could enter a storyline with, you know, and just in general. But I don't know. I enjoyed this a lot, and I'll say I was surprised by the outcome. What do you think, John?
Coming into tonight, I thought that Johnny Gargano was going to lose the title. Coming out of tonight, I don't think Johnny Gargano is going to lose the title. I thought Dexter Lumis was going to win the match and then win the title. But then Bronson Reed won, and it just doesn't make sense to me because he really hasn't been built too much over the past couple of weeks. He was the thick boy for a while, and then he was the colossal now. It seems like they're just trying to find the right fit for him. He's obviously a big guy. He's not as versatile as someone like Keith Lee. He reminds me of honestly like a Mark Henry type guy where he's just big and strong, but he can't really move too quickly. So, and I know, you know, Vince likes the big men like that. So, I mean, I'm not that he has a say in NXT, but I'm saying on the main roster, he would be somebody to watch out for. I'm interested to know why Triple H went that direction. I don't think he's going to win, like I said, but I am trying to figure out what the payoff is here. Could it be Austin Theory turning on Johnny Gargano? Could it be, and I think it should be somehow Dexter Lumis getting back in the picture, but I'm just not sure. It was a little confusing to me. The match was okay, but the result was just a little underwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, I thought kind of until the end here, this match was really good. Everyone in it looked great. So, you know, win or lose, it was a good way to give kind of Isaiah Swerve Scott the chance to shine. Leon Ruff looked great. Bronson Reed looked good in victory. Like you said, he may not be as necessarily like quick or agile as someone like Keith Lee, but I thought he looked good with some of the spots he got to do. And it was tossed people around like they were sacks of potatoes. So it was a good spot for him. LA Knight came out and he was cutting a promo on his way to the ring. And just for at least what I've seen of Eli Drake, also known as LA Knight, before he got to WWE, I see star written all over him. I think he could do great things. And I think it's really just only a matter of time until he does get to that kind of main event level. Because he looks like a star, good on the mic, just everything about him. I like him, so of course I'll say that. But I think that, if, like I said, a feud of Dex Lumis, they kind of tease that here. Maybe they go that direction. You were saying you're kind of confused by a choice of Bronson Reed winning. And like I said, you hate to look at it this way, but when you've got this match where it's like, you know, a couple of heels, a couple of faces, you eliminate the heels, and then it's essentially down to Lumis and Bronson Reed. And then
Leon Ruff, too.
Yeah, but then I didn't think they were going to do that. Leon Ruff
had his thing.
So, and then they have been feuding with, they had the kind of feud with Lumis and Gargano. So maybe by that, in that sense, would make as much sense for him to win, although that seemed like the obvious direction. At the very least, it is, I'll say it's a good chance for Bronson Reed to get, you know, a spotlight. Ironically, you're saying he's someone that hasn't had this like prolonged build, but then he'll have this, you know, this two-night stretch here really in the spotlight. So maybe there's something to be said for that, because if that's someone that they want to kind of, you know, push to that next level, putting him in there with Gargano is a great way to do it, win or lose, you know. And then if it's a loss, then maybe it continues beyond tomorrow. If the way it gets solved, I don't really know. But I don't know. I overall, I did enjoy it, and I'm hopeful that some of the people that were in this match will get to, will still benefit. I mean, like I said, Grimes has been doing great stuff. I love the new Kiss My Grits thing. LA Knight has been great so far in NXT in a short run there. Isaiah Swerve Scott looked great, and then get a bunch of comments like DJ Cassier saying that he should have won. He was fantastic. He did look great. But I think that every match tonight delivered. I will say that on a night that's called Stand and Deliver, everyone stood up and delivered. So in terms of my rating for it, and I'll go for an 8. This was a good show. It was it was a takeover on cable TV. So, but if you look at it like a takeover, this kind of stands up with any other takeover. So, you know, I'll say it was just as strong as some of the other takeovers we've seen recently. So I'll give it an 8 because I enjoy it a lot. What's you, John?
Yep. And obviously we've only seen one of the two nights so far. So tomorrow I'll rate the overall show.
Yes.
But as we stand right now, I would give the show an 8 also. And then obviously tomorrow, if they really deliver, which I think they probably will with those two main events, it could go up from an 8. If they're kind of lackluster and they just don't deliver, maybe a little bit predictable, maybe a little bit of a shenanigan type thing, maybe go down from an 8. But right now I stand at an 8.
Yeah, man, we're seeing some good comments here with Laura Rock giving a 9.9. Wow, that's a high score, you know. People are enjoying it though. Nesha Kurtz giving it a 9, or sorry, she's giving TakeOver a 7, AEW is TakeOver 9, AEW a 7. Eddie Zahari giving it an 8.7. PSA giving it a 10. Steven Chambers giving it an 8. Herman Takari giving it a 9. So this seems like a really solid show. People saying it's better than AEW. Now, yeah, I was watching NXT tonight, of course, but AEW was doing a lot of good things too. They had Mike Tyson, they had Chris Jericho cutting a great promo, and of course the Dynamite Dudes of Attitude, Dominic and Marcus are breaking down AEW, so make sure to check that out. We're talking NXT, we're talking it right now. We'll do for TakeOver Night 2 tomorrow, we'll be right back here as well, and we'll just do a brief preview for Night 2. Like John said, we've got two big main events. We're going to see Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly in a really big heated unsanctioned match. Very, very excited for that one. And we're also going to see Finn Balor and Karrion Kross. I've been looking forward to that one for a very long time. Of course, we're going to see Johnny Gargano face, now we know, Bronson Reed for the North American title. A ladder match, definitely always a good time. We're going to see Jordan Devlin face Santos Escobar, determined the true undisputed Cruiserweight champion. And we're also going to see Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart face Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell of the Way for the women's tag titles. John, which matches are you looking forward to the most for Night 2?
Finn Balor, Karrion Kross for sure. And the Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly match is going to be very interesting as well, because I think if Kyle O'Reilly wins, I think Adam Cole's moving up. But if Adam Cole wins, I think he stays in NXT. So that is kind of how I'm weighing that match right now. The main event, I'm just at a crossroads with who's going to win. I can see it going either way, but I feel like you almost have to have Karrion Kross win. But I guess we'll find out.
I mean, I look at Karrion Kross like someone that definitely – I'd be very surprised if he lost. He never got his chance to have that title reign that he deserved. He got hurt. Now he's back. So if he loses, I don't really know how he bounces back from that, because, you know, that would be pretty crushing. But I'm looking forward to that one the most. I think both guys have got great personalities. They're two of my favorites in NXT overall. But of course, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, that's going to be a great match. Looking forward to it. As you just said, John, I think if Adam Cole does lose, it could be his long overdue call up to the main roster. That's something people have been speculating about for a very long time. So that'd make a lot of sense. You know, especially
DJ, to answer your question, we actually are moving forward having two separate shows for Wednesdays now. So instead of us covering both, Colin and I will cover NXT, and then you can tell them more about the AEW and when they can expect to see that.
Yeah, we're still working out the new schedule. It's just a lot of changes overall. We've got Impact moving to Thursdays. We've got NXT moving to Tuesdays. It's a whole complicated time. But at least for now, you can definitely expect John and I to do the NXT post show. We'll be here tomorrow for Night 2. And then starting next week when NXT moves to Tuesdays, we'll be doing that post show on Tuesday nights. As for AEW, you can expect the Dynamite Dudes of Attitude, Marcus and Dominic, will continue to do AEW coverage, but they'll kind of take up the AEW post show coverage in that sense. And we're trying to work out whether that'll be live or kind of after the fact, but we'll definitely just, you know, kind of stay tuned to
WrestleZone.
Yeah, as always. Because so many changes are kind of happening, we're still trying to solidify it, but at the very least we've got that far. We're still working out the specific schedule, but, you know, stay tuned and we'll make sure to get the information to you as soon as humanly possible. But yeah, it just made sense to kind of split up a little bit. Well, John and I will be doing NXT.
Still be on separate nights anyway, starting now. So yeah, you can't really do both at the same time anymore anyway.
Yeah, so we thought that was the most logical approach. But at the very least, tonight was the final night of the Wednesday Night Wars, if you will. And even then, it felt like a good time to kind of start that change. And especially, we've got this two-night takeover. We'll be back here tomorrow. So, you know, we're getting some comments about the ladder match. We're getting, you know, people just looking forward to a lot of these big matches. And then after that, you know, people, it's WrestleMania week. Gotta get excited. You know, beyond TakeOver, then it's WrestleMania. A bunch of comments are saying that, you know, they're thinking that night one of this show might be better than WrestleMania overall. I don't know this is a great show, and I'm hopeful that night two will be great as well. I'm just hopeful that every show will be great. You know, I think that, you know, tomorrow night, could be the stronger half even. And I say that after tonight was a great show, but I just look at, you know, those two main events could really just kind of boost that show big time. And it overall, it's a strong card top to bottom as well, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick before we wrap up, Herman, I want to answer your question. When you're watching the show on Peacock, if you are watching while the show is still on, you cannot start it from the beginning. You have to watch it live. However, as soon as the show ends, right at 10 o'clock, you can restart it from the beginning. So that's one of the main complaints that fans have had on Peacock, is that, say, you're running late from work 15, 20 minutes. You can start the show from the beginning. You have to watch it from its live point. So they're working to fix that, but that, to answer your question, as soon as the show ends, it does have a restart, so you can watch it from the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, I'll admit I was watching on cable TV, this, and you know, I'm gonna have to join the Peacock bandwagon
tomorrow.
That'll be I'm a little anxious about it, because like you just said, it's been a little imperfect so far with, you know, some technical things like that, but it'll be fine. I'm looking forward to it. That'll be kind of the big test to have. We've already seen Fastlane as mean having an NXT event. Well, that'll be something to see whether, you know, that whether it's the, you know, people respond as positively tomorrow, when rather than having cable and Peacock tomorrow, it'll be Peacock. So I'll have to wait and see how that goes, but I think it'll be a great show no matter what, and I'm looking forward to it. A bunch of comments wondering or speculating Roderick Strong could get involved in that Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly match. I think that makes a lot of sense. We've seen this kind of ongoing saga with the Undisputed Era, and I'm very excited to see how that's all going to play out. I think it's just been a great kind of, especially factor in the Undisputed Era's history, but especially ever since Adam Cole turned on Kyle O'Reilly, I've really enjoyed how they're building this thing up. And I think that could be easily the match of the night on a very stacked show. And not lastly, just before you get out of here, I do want to call attention to the fact that, so I'm not going to pronounce this right, but Saray, NXT's newest women's wrestling signee, she was in the crowd alongside Stephanie McMahon. She'll be fine, and they signed her a while ago, but she had been unable to come to the stateside, but now she's in the United States. So I would think that at some point sooner or later you will see Saray, or however you pronounce it, in the United States on NXT, the main NXT roster. So I think that could be pretty exciting. Like we were talking about earlier with Taya Valkyrie, I think that could be great for NXT, the women's division, of obviously lots of depth, and so I think that'd be very good. And lastly here, we're talking about the Undisputed Era, Bobby Fish, I don't know if he's ready to come back, but he is kind of this wild card or X factor in this ongoing story, and not quite sure about his status at this point. Wouldn't necessarily expect to see him tomorrow, no, but he could come back at some point. And then at some, you know, who's to say, right? Does he need to? Does he need to necessarily for the, you know, for the good of the feud? Not necessarily, because, you know, Cole and O'Reilly have been doing a great job, holding it up on their end. But I think the best version of this feud would be to kind of bring all four guys together and see, kind of play it out there. But I don't know if that's possible or not. So, you know, that's one thing we just have to wait and see what happens with it. But I mean, overall here, a very great show tonight. Looking forward to tomorrow. You know, I've got those two great main events. You've got a women's tag team match. You've got Johnny Gargano defending the title against Bronson Reed. And I'm looking forward to it. So, and now kind of transition right into WrestleMania weekend with the three-day WrestleMania. Friday night SmackDown being the unofficial night one. And obviously WrestleMania actually being the two nights on Saturday and Sunday. So it'll be great. Of course, we'll have you covered with tons of coverage, whether it's with the news or if the SmackDown Double Down on Friday with Robert DeFelice and myself covering SmackDown. And as I said, the Dynamite Dudes of Attitude will be covering AEW, and then stay tuned for any number of interviews we've got coming at you guys. Bill Pritchard recently interviewed Tony Deppen, so look out for that. Bill also interviewed Big E about his Our Heroes Rock. Great stuff all around. And of course, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's WrestleMania week, everybody. So get excited, enjoy wrestling, and we'll see you tomorrow for night two of NXT TakeOver.